20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I don't know about you guys, but yesterday was the day for me that it hit me that we are here. We've arrived. The NFL draft is one day away now. The Packers obviously selecting pick 23 overall in the first round. See if they move up, stay there, move down, who they end up selecting. Sure, there's going to be throughout the course of the draft some disappointment, some excitement. What the hell is Goody doing? Why is there another projection sort of player with all these traits? Why can't you get somebody who had 4,000 sacks in college? I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of all of that. And then, of course, we'll talk ourselves into all the picks no matter what. But it's a fun time of year. I hope you guys are excited for it. I know you are. Obviously, with it being in Green Bay, that's a whole nother level of excitement added on top of it as well. Should be a very fun next handful of days. And I'll be here for you. The whole Pack-A-Day podcast crew will be here for you. Tons of live shows, tons of events, tons of obviously podcasts covering the players that get selected. It's a fun time of year. You know what else is a great thing to do this time of year? Hit that subscribe button. Like I said, there's going to be so much amazing content coming out. If you're on YouTube, if you're on the audio podcast, hit subscribe and make sure you get those alerts as well. If you're on the audio side, get those automatic downloads and get the alerts. And if you're on YouTube, hit that alert button as well. But make sure you subscribe to the channel. That helps the channel a ton. And I cannot thank you enough for that. Speaking, not necessarily of subscribers, but of members, Max Urban, Luke Paul, thank you so much for becoming Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, make sure to do so. I've got two events coming up today on Wednesday. I'm going to be at the Bay Park Square Mall, 1 p.m. It's a Cheesehead TV event. Aaron Nagler is going to be there. Matt Ramage is going to be there. Tom Grassi is going to be there. And I will be there as well. Sounds like we're going to do some mock drafts, a little bit of question and answer. So looking forward to that, 1 p.m. Bay Park Square Mall in Green Bay. And then, of course, the big event that I'm going to be hosting, 7 to 9 p.m., Hagemeister Park, downtown Green Bay, tonight, Wednesday, live Q&A. I'll try to hang around as long as I can, answer any questions, you know, do some meet and greets, whatever you guys want to do. I'll be there. I hope to see you guys there. It's going to be a really fun event, breaking down all the, you know, potential possibilities and picks and questions that you guys have. I'll be there again, 7 to 9, Hagemeister Park in Green Bay. Hope to see you guys all there. Today, we're going to be doing our ultimate big board for the Green Bay Packers. And we're going to go through sort of round by round, same thing we did last year, same exact thing we did last year, going through. I did it, you know, basically tiered it in four different ways: first round, second round, third round, and then fourth through seventh. Like when you get to fourth through seventh, it's, you know, parsing out the fourth through the seventh rounders is again, probably a fool's errand, if anything. So just kind of combining them into one is a little bit simpler. It's just a little bit more logical is the more important thing there. If it was easy to, not easy, but if it was logical to sort them by fourth through seventh, I would do so. There's just not a ton of value in doing that, to be honest. A couple things that I want to shout out first. A massive thank you to the Green Bay Draft Guide, which is super helpful in putting this big board together. If you have not checked out the Green Bay Draft Guide as of yet, I legitimately promise you, I cannot recommend it enough. There's still time. It's going to get you all the players that you kind of want to look at in this draft that hit the Packers profiles and their metrics and all those sort of things. Cannot stress it enough. They've done unbelievable work. Check it out. Check out the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide as well. While you're at it, just some really awesome people doing some really cool work covering the draft from a Packers point of view. Green Bay Draft Guide, Cheesehead TV Draft Guide, but a huge shout out to the Green Bay Draft Guide through for helping me, you know, be able to put this big board together. Also a shout out to Brennan Rupp, PackersWire.com. Just had him look over the big board just to make sure I wasn't missing anyone, making sure that anything didn't look crazy out of place. He just had a few guys kind of back of the roster or back of the draft guys to look at that I added in on there. So I appreciate Brennan giving me a second pair of eyes looking at this as well. Some interesting notes about the big board last year compared to this year. All right. 140 players were on the big board last year. Let's go over last year's big board for a second first. Last year, I did this exercise, had 140 players on the big board, 17 players in the first round, 24 in the second, 37 in the third, and then 62 from the fourth through the seventh rounds. So 140 players in total. Now, last year, that's where I get to brag, hardcore brag. Now, I mean, I'm actually pretty excited that we were able to narrow it down this well. 140 players on that big board. So we're not talking 300, 400 players on a big board here where, of course, you're just going to hit everything, right? 140 players, we got eight of the 11 draft picks on that big board last year. In fact, we had Jordan Morgan on the first round line. Now, if you listen to the podcast from last year, Jordan Morgan had been on the second round line at that point in time. I actually had to do a double take because I re-listened to the podcast and he was on the second round line, which had made sense. I did update it. I double checked it. I did update it prior to the draft and I did have Jordan Morgan on the first round line right prior to the draft. And I have the tweet that was prior to the draft to prove it. So Jordan Morgan was on the first round line in that group. Edgerrin Cooper and Javon Bullard were both on the second round line. I did not have Lloyd or Hopper on the third round line, but I had both of them on the fourth to seventh round list. Evan Williams was at the top of the fourth round list. The fourth through seventh list. Ketanji Ladapo was fourth through seventh list. Michael Pratt was fourth through seventh list. And then also Donovan Jennings and Omar Brown, two players that Donovan Jennings was their biggest priority undrafted free agent. And then Omar Brown was a player that they picked up for the practice squad after Denver released them. And then he ultimately got a cup of coffee on the active roster and actually played in some game time this last year as well. So Donovan Jennings, Omar Brown, also on that list. So out of 140 players, we got 8 of the 11 draft picks correct and 2 sort of priority undrafted free agent types in Donovan Jennings and Omar Brown. The 3 players that I missed on last year that were not on the big board that were ultimately selected, Jacob Monk, which sort of center only kind of guard, a little bit, kind of a smaller type player, not the super freak athlete. You can understand maybe why he wasn't on that list, but a Senior Bowl player, obviously somebody that Green Bay liked. Travis Glover was not on that list. He's a little bit, outside of their normal realm of like kind of size that they look at offensive tackle, but he's a fun player as well. And then Kalen King late in the 7th round was not on the board either. So Monk, Glover, and King, the 3 players that I did not have, 3 late kind of day 3 selections. All the other Packers draft picks, and again, 2 priority undrafted type guys were on that board last year out of 140 players. So 8 of the 11 draft picks, 2 practice squad players out of 140. This year, it's a little bit different. And if you look at it, it kind of makes sense. If you look back at last year's draft and then look at this year's draft, have 197 players on this year's draft. And that is not in an effort to make sure I get all of the draft picks on there. It's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show you the guys that are probably most likely, on Green Bay's board, and then go position by position, see the strengths of it. You can see it horizontally. You can see it vertically. I think that's more of the important aspect of this. It's not to try to predict every single one of them right. The reason I think it makes sense that we have 197 this year instead of 140, think of these 2 draft classes individually. Last year, if you remember, right? Everyone sort of talked about how the 6th and the 7th rounds were basically what normally you would find in undrafted free agency. So those would normally be like kind of priority UDFAs. And if you look at Green Bay, right? Like guys like Michael Pratt and Kalen King, they cut both of those players. Now they were able to get King back on the practice squad. Pratt left for Tampa Bay's practice squad, but they don't cut a lot of draft picks. They did last year. It was talked about widely as a smaller draft class that you're going to get to the 6th and 7th and just not have guys left on your board. And then this year, we just heard Goody talk about this week of how this is a very deep draft class, maybe not top heavy, but it is super deep. And he has more players on his board than he would even like, because he likes to narrow it down, but they're guys that are just worthwhile to be on that board. So it makes a ton of sense that last year was a lower than average class. And this year is a, I think, higher than average class of draftable prospects, that you're going to have a little bit of a difference there. So last year was 140. This year is 197. Here's the thing that you kind of need to know about this, or where kind of the differences are. The difference in the 1st through the 3rd rounds, right, is very minimal. I have from the 1st to 3rd rounds last year to the 1st to 3rd rounds this year, I only have 3 more players this year on the first 2 days of the draft, or rounds 1 through 3, only 3 more players this year. Rounds 4 through 7, I have 54 more players on the board this year. So those first few rounds, we're talking almost identical. This year, I have 21 first round players on the board. If you look at the board and count them, it's 22, but that's because I have Travis Hunter at wide receiver and at corner. So it's actually 21 players. I had 17 last year. In the 2nd round, I have 30 players this year. I had 24 last year. And in the 3rd round, I have 30 players this year. I had 37 last year. So a few more first rounders, a few more 2nd rounders, a few less 3rd rounders, and then a ton more 4th through 7th rounders. So deeper, not necessarily more talented or more options at the top of the draft. From a position standpoint, If you look at the board, which I will be posting through the course of the show today, I'll post it at the end, and then I'll go kind of, as we go round by round, I'll post the players in those rounds as well. I have the most players that I have on there, the position that I have the most of on this board is probably not going to surprise a ton of people. Interior defensive line. We have heard over and over and over how deep this class is. I have 26 interior defensive linemen on this list on the big board in some capacity. So 26 interior defensive linemen. Next is 23 wide receivers and 23 interior offensive linemen. So again, those are good positions for Green Bay. 22 corners, another great position for Green Bay. I have 20 edge rushers, 17 safeties, 16 linebackers, 15 tight ends, 14 offensive tackles. I want to talk about that for a moment. 14 running backs and 8 quarterbacks. Now, to be clear, those numbers are not indicative of the overall classes in totality. For example, I do not have Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders on my draft board. I think it's fair to say that they are not going to be Green Bay Packers. They would be on, you know, normal teams that needs a quarterback and that could potentially take a quarterback around. They would be on the board, right? But for the Packers, they are not. So we talked about this last year on this episode as well of like, these are always difficult conversations. Like if Cam Ward got to 23, like would Green Bay consider, maybe he could be the best player on the board, but while we're living in the world of being realistic, we know he's not going to be there. So there's no need to put him on the board here and have any sort of real discussion about it. So it's not to say that there's not more quarterbacks that would be on most teams' list or other teams' list, but for Green Bay, you know, until you get maybe to late round three, that's probably the earliest you could really consider somebody. And we'll kind of go through that here in just a moment. But for Green Bay's specific big board that we're putting together today, 26 interior defensive linemen, 23 wide receivers, 23 interior offensive linemen, 22 corners, 20 edge rushers, 17 safeties, 16 linebackers, 15 tight ends, 14 offensive tackles, 14 running backs, and eight quarterbacks. The one I mentioned that I want to go over is offensive tackle. Only 14 offensive tackles that I have on this list. Five of them are in the first round. And two of them, Will Campbell and Armon Membu, are not going to be there. So you can almost take it down to 12. There is only one second round offensive tackle, two third round offensive tackles, and then three, four, five, six, fourth through seventh round offensive tackles. It is by far and away the lightest class of, I think, players that Green Bay would legitimately consider at that position. So I know that nobody wants the, you know, Josh Simmons pick or, you know, like, Josh Connerly Jr. or something like that. Like that would be a tough pill to swallow in the first round. Just know that like, if you want a talented tackle, and I'm not saying they should, they got Zach Tom long-term. You've got already Rashid Walker. You've got Jordan Morgan that they just selected a year ago. I'm not saying they should need that, but if you did want one, you might want to get in on it at that pick 23, because if there's one there, you may not be guaranteed another opportunity for a ton of tackles, specifically on day two. And then day three, you're just taking, you know, flyer type players at that point. So those guys are going to go, I think, relatively fast. And if you want to get one, you should probably get one sooner rather than later, because once that first round goes, it gets very slim, very, very, very fast. So just kind of a noteworthy one there as well. As I mentioned, Travis Hunter is on the list twice. Not that it matters. He's going to be gone, so we don't need to spend a ton of time on that. All right, let's get to our big board. We're going to start in the first round. I have no quarterbacks, no running backs, no tight ends, no interior offensive linemen, no linebackers, and no safeties on my board in round one. Prove me otherwise, right? We know they're not taking a quarterback. Shedeur Sanders is not going to be the guy in round one. I mean, man, Omarion Hampton is a hell of a football player. We know Genty's going to be gone. I think Hampton, at least there's a chance Hampton's gone. I just don't think that that can be the trigger that Green Bay pulls in the first round to go get a really talented running back. But when they have a stable of running backs already, just don't think you can get there. Tight end, man, the top two tight ends in this class are really, really fun. But again, you have a law of diminishing returns at some point. They still have faith in Musgrave. Kraft is really good. I don't know that you need to go, obviously, top tier tight end. I'm sure that would not be their pick or like their choice. But if one of them's there, do they maybe consider it at 23? Because both are kind of expected not to be there. Maybe they could consider it, but I mean, I just don't see it. Interior offensive line, you know, Gray Zabel would, you know, maybe Donovan Jackson, but Gray Zabel would probably be the only example of this. It's a non-premium position. It's a smaller school player. To me, it's not something Green Bay usually does in round one. Maybe there's a red herring or two there, and maybe they just really love him. It's possible, just don't see that being the direction that they ultimately go in. You know, interior defensive line, or sorry, interior defensive line, we'll get to in just a moment. Linebackers, again, I don't see a world in which you could do a linebacker in the first round. And then, of course, safety, you know, Iman Wari, you know, Malachi Starks, good players, but their safety room is beyond stacked. Just don't think you can do it. So try to prove me wrong if you want to, but I can't find a way in which they take a quarterback, running back, tight end, interior offensive lineman, linebacker, or safety. I want to get, we'll get to defense in just a moment here in the first round, but I want to focus on offense. Talked about this a little bit on the members Q&A yesterday, but if I told you right now, Green Bay took an offensive player in round one at pick 23, or, you know, we'll just say at pick 23, right? Maybe if they move up or down, things could change a little bit. But if I told you for certain, Green Bay took a player at pick 23, it feels like it might be kind of easy to narrow that down, right? Travis Hunter gone. Tet McMillan, by all accounts that we're starting to hear now, is going to be gone. Matthew Golden, I wouldn't give up entirely, but the expectation is, you know, whether it's Dallas or somebody right around there, that Matthew Golden's going to go earlier than 23. So he's probably gone. Armand Membu, Will Campbell, and now it sounds like Kelvin Banks also going to be gone. I also don't know that, you know, Banks is going to be a Green Bay type of guy anyway, but he's on the big board. I think he's also probably gone. There's only three offensive players left that sort of make any sort of sense in the first round after that for Green Bay at the positions of need that, again, they would potentially look at. Emeka Egbuka, Josh Simmons, and maybe Justice Mosqueda brought this one up in an article over on Acme Packing Company on Tuesday. And I love this player, but this would be a little bit steep, I think, at 23. Josh Connerly Jr., I love the player. Absolutely love the player. I think he has everything he needs to be super successful in this league. Of course, you need more seasoning, technique work, all those things. Every offensive lineman does, but he has every trait and just skill set imaginable to be successful at left tackle. Who besides Egbuka, Josh Simmons, or maybe Josh Connerly could be the pick if it's an offensive player? I don't see Luther Burden. So much so that I don't see Luther Burden as their type that I don't have him on the board at all. I don't have him there. I don't think they're going to take a really bad blocking wide receiver that probably is a little bit more slot oriented, even though I think he can do a little bit of everything. I would love to be wrong. I will be thrilled if I'm wrong on that one and they take Luther Burden, but I just don't see it. And it sounds like he's going to be, I think he's like minus 300 to go in the second round. So we can probably, again, eliminate him from the first round conversation altogether. Again, we talked about the other positions. None of the other positions make sense. Jaden Higgins? We'll come back to that. There's no other offensive tackle. So I guess the only other three that would even be remotely in the conversation, again, assuming Hunter, McMillan, Golden, Membu, Campbell, and Banks are all gone, the only ones that even remotely be in the conversation to me would be Jaden Higgins, Gray Zabel, or Donovan Jackson. Those are the only ones you could remotely get to. With Higgins, like, man, maybe if they moved down in the first round to like 32 and made him the, you know, their wide receiver pick at 32, maybe 23 seems ridiculously steep for Jaden Higgins. Gray Zabel, again, maybe that would maybe be one that you could talk me into. It's not because he's not a good player. I think he's a very good player. That's not my concern. It's just, I don't know that that's where they would need to go. Interior offensive line, somebody that's switching positions, small school. That's again, not what they usually look for. Donovan Jackson, maybe. Again, I don't think he would be exactly what Green Bay's looking at. Are they going to go guard only when they just signed Aaron Banks to a big deal? Again, it doesn't feel like that would be the case. So I'm like legitimately saying, unless a Matthew Golden falls, if you told me right now that they picked an offensive player in round one, Emeka Egbuka, Josh Connerly Jr., Josh Simmons, I can't really wrap my head around anyone else. Let me know in the comments if you disagree, if there's somebody else that you're thinking of. Again, if somebody falls, sure. If a Tet falls, a Matthew Golden falls, something like that, you could easily get to the, you know, one of those two guys. But I think this is why it seems like it's going to be very much a defensive pick, because Josh Simmons, Josh Connerly Jr., Emeka Egbuka feel like the only real options at 23 on offense for Green Bay. Defensively, Mason Graham, who's going to be gone, Derek Harmon, Kenneth Grant, and Walter Nolan along the defensive line. Abdul Carter, Michael Williams, Jalen Walker, Shamar Stewart, and Landon Jackson along edge. And then corners, Travis Hunter, Jadae Barron, Will Johnson, and Trey Amos. As far as like, you know, just to kind of recap, the wide receivers were Hunter McMillan, Golden, and Igbuka. The tackles were Membu, Campbell, Simmons, Banks, and Connor Lee Jr. That's your list. Again, some of these guys are going to be gone. The two maybe fringe guys here that I would say, Landon Jackson and Trey Amos. Jackson's an interesting player at 6'6". You know, as Justice brought up yesterday, you're just kind of doubling down and kind of taking another LVN sort of player. Tall, effort, fast, physical, tested really well, played well at the Senior Bowl as a Senior Bowl guy. You could see Green Bay, if everything else does not go according to plan, he could potentially be their fallback. Like maybe they would probably prefer to trade back, but they can't find a partner and everyone else is gone. I think Landon Jackson's at least in a small consideration here. Trey Amos is another one where I've kind of fought it for a little bit of like, yeah, I think he's just a second round guy. The more I've thought about it lately, it wouldn't stun me. Again, I would love to move down if it were Amos in this situation, not take him at 23, but I don't think you can rule it out entirely. But if this is your list, right, you've got 21 different guys. You pick at 23. You know Cam Ward is going to go. You know Ashton Jeanty is going to go, right? You're at least one of the tight ends. Like at least one of the tight ends. You could get an interior offensive lineman to go. You're probably going to get a linebacker to go ahead of time. Maybe a safety. Like you're probably at minimum. Maybe O'Marrion Hampton is another one. Like you're probably talking about six guys at least that aren't on this list that could go ahead of pick 23 to Green Bay, which means you have 17 remaining, you know, picks that you have, and you've got 21 guys on your board. So Green Bay should theoretically have a few guys at least from this board available. Travis Hunter, Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, Emeka Igbuka, Armon Membu, Will Campbell, Josh Simmons, Kelvin Banks, Josh Connerly Jr., Mason Graham, Derek Harmon, Kenneth Grant, Walter Nolan, Abdul Carter, Michael Williams, Jalen Walker, Shamar Stewart, Landon Jackson, Jade Barron, Will Johnson, and Trey Amos. They should, at minimum, have a few of those guys available, and probably as many as maybe 5, 6, or 7 available at pick 23. If that's the case, again, you could very much get into a scenario where you look to trade down if you do have multiple of those first round kind of picks or values that are still there. Or you could just hopefully that one of them that you love and you want to take them at 23. To me, that's even better because you love the player so much you don't want to move down. But those are the players: Hunter, McMillan, Golden, and Igbuka at wide receiver, Membu, Campbell, Simmons, Banks, and Connerly at offensive tackle, Mason Graham, Derek Harmon, Kenneth Grant, and Walter Nolan at defensive line, Abdul Carter, Michael Williams, Jalen Walker, Shamar Stewart, Landon Jackson at edge, and Travis Hunter, Jade Barron, Will Johnson, and Trey Amos at corner. All right, let's get to round two. Round two, I once again have no quarterbacks. That's the only position where I have nobody. It's the only position where I still don't think there's anyone Green Bay is going to consider in round two in this draft. Running back, I have one, Travion Henderson. I think this is an incredibly unlikely selection for Green Bay. I can't rule him out entirely. He's a very talented running back. He has the ability to catch the ball to the backfield. He can pass protect. He's super fast. He's got pretty good vision. You know, he can just straight out outrun people, and he's a home run threat. It feels a little bit rich. Like you've got a good stable of running backs. It feels, you know, luxurious. I don't think Green Bay would go in this direction, but I couldn't rule him out entirely. And if you told me that they took a running back in round two, my guess was that it was Travion Henderson. He fell to them somehow, and they just couldn't pass up the value. Wide receivers, I have five different wide receivers. Jaden Higgins, Jack Besh, Jalen Noel, Jalen Royals, and Trey Harris. Those are the five. I think there's differing, you know, thoughts here. I think Higgins and Royals are probably a little bit more the type that they need. I think Besh can do a little bit of everything. Don't rule out Jalen Noel. I'm saying this right now. Like, I know everyone looks at Higgins, and I think you look at Noel and you see a little bit more of a slot guy. Noel's a really good route runner, and it wouldn't stun me if he could play on the outside, and if Green Bay thought he could play on the outside. And I know a lot of people really like Jalen Noel. I just don't give up on him entirely as a potential Packer. He's on the list, and then Trey Harris as well. Outside, more possession type wide receiver. Not sure that's exactly what they need, but you need an outside wide receiver, and it, you know, you would love a burner. You're not getting a burner, but you're getting a still really solid wide receiver. So Higgins, Besh, Noel, Royals, and Harris at wide receiver. I have three tight ends: Mason Taylor, Elijah Arroyo, and Terrence Ferguson. don't think they would do this, but these are three tight ends that should be under consideration. Mason Taylor, 20-year-old, Jason Taylor's kid, really talented, but needs some work, right? To me, you have Mason Taylor on the roster already and Luke Musgrave. Both have high-end upside. They both have some technique work to kind of figure out. Now, Taylor's younger, but I think you just already have that player. But I, again, couldn't rule it out entirely. Elijah Arroyo, I love. Pass-catching tight end can do a little bit of H-back stuff. I think he'd add a really unique weapon to this offense and give you some Musgrave insurance just in case he doesn't work out. Again, rich would be the right word here again, or luxurious. Like it's not needed, you know, but I can't rule it out entirely. And then Terrence Ferguson is a guy that I think they are going to like a lot just from his athletic profile. So those are the three tight ends that you could start thinking about come round two. I told you there's only one offensive tackle. Ariante Ursary, the offensive tackle out of Minnesota. Love this kid. I think he's phenomenal. I think he is, you know, obviously big, physical, athletic. He moves so well for his size. I don't know that he's a perfect, again, 1A type Packer player here, but I would be thrilled. And again, once you get past those first few, there's just not a ton of options left through the remainder of the draft at tackle. So Ursary still on the board here in round two. Gray Zabel, Donovan Jackson, Jonah Savianea out of Arizona, Jordan Morgan's former teammate, and then Wyatt Milam in the second round, I think are some interior offensive linemen that Green Bay could consider here. Interior defensive line, Tyleek Williams, Darius Alexander, Alfred Collins, and TJ Sanders. By the way, if you're watching this on the video show, if you're seeing this out on Twitter, if you want to look at it, I will post it on Twitter at some point on Wednesday as well. But the bold players means that they were in for top 30 visits. So if you're looking at it and wondering what the heck the bold means, it's because they were in for a top 30 visit. But Tyleek Williams, Darius Alexander, Alfred Collins, and TJ Sanders at interior defensive line. At edge, Donovan Ezeraku, JT Tuamalu, James Pierce, Braden Swinson, Nick Scorton, and Jordan Birch. I do think there's still going to be a talent available at defensive end. You might say, well, Ezeraku's not going to be there. That's not necessarily the point. The point is when I think Green Bay would consider them. I know that Travis Hunter is not going to be there either, but would they consider him in the first round? Absolutely. So, you know, how I kind of look at this is you put your board together and then as soon as somebody's taken, you can easily cross them off, right? And you never quite know what's going to happen. Do I expect Donovan Ezeraku to get there at 54? Hell no. But I think he's more of a second round, probably great in Green Bay's eyes, where maybe then you're willing to take a little bit more of a flyer on the lack of, you know, just height, weight, and those sort of things. But I think he's a first round guy, you know, always, but again, crazier things have happened for Green Bay's board. I think he's a second rounder, but again, very talented second round class here, at least in this board. Ezeraku, Tuamalu, Pierce, Swinson, Scorton, and Birch. Be pretty thrilled, honestly, with any of those guys in the second round. Carson Schwechinger, I don't think, again, they take an off-ball linebacker this early in the draft, but he is very much a Packers type. Could see him potentially, at least if everything else maybe fell through, if they just fell in love with him. Second round at earliest for Schwechinger. Maxwell Harrison, Benjamin Morrison, Savone Revel, and Azaray Thomas at corner. This is an interesting group. Like I've seen some buzz for Harrison in the first. I can't quite get there. I wouldn't hate it. I like him. I think he's a really talented football player. I think 23 is steep. I think his weight is going to be what maybe pushes him down a Green Bay-centric board a little bit. I think they would love him in the second. I think the first might be a little bit rich for Green Bay. Benjamin Morrison coming off the injury, Savone Revel coming off the injury, then Azaray Thomas, really talented player, 20 years old. I think going to need a little bit of seasoning, but he is somebody that I think does have a lot of talent and I could see Green Bay being very interested in round two. And then at safety, I couldn't rule out Nick Emenwori entirely. He's a very unique prospect. I very much expect him to go in round one, but somehow, some way, if he did get to 54, I think Green Bay, despite having a billion talented safeties already, I think they'd at least have to consider that in round two, even if they don't take him. He's just too talented to probably pass up at that point in time. So running back, Trayvon Henderson, Jaden Higgins, Jack Bash, Jalen Noel, Jalen Royals, and Trey Harris at wide receiver. Mason Taylor, Elijah Arroyo, Terrence Ferguson at tight end. Arante Ursary at offensive tackle. Zabel, Donovan Jackson, Jonah Savanea, and Wyatt Milam at interior offensive line. Tyleek Williams, Darius Alexander, Alfred Collins, and TJ Sanders at interior defensive line. Donovan Ezeraku, JT Tuamalu, James Pierce, Braden Swinson, Nick Scorton, and Jordan Birch at edge. Carson Schwechinger at linebacker. Maxwell Harrison, Benjamin Morrison, Savone Revel, Azaray Thomas at corner, and Nick Emenwori at safety. All right, let's get to our third round players. I finally have quarterbacks here. I have no tight ends, but I do have somebody at every other position. So Tyler Shaw or Jackson Dart. If either of those guys are there in the third round, that's as soon as you can start considering. So I think either of them are going to be there in the third round. I do not. I think they'll at least go in round two, if not maybe earlier, but I don't expect them to be there. But somehow Green Bay sitting there in the third round and one of those players are actually available, I think you would have to at least consider it. Would they probably do it? Probably not. But that would be the first time you could actually start to think about it a little bit. Running back, Caleb Johnson, Quinshon Judkins, and Cam Scadabo. I don't think Johnson or Judkins have a really, you know, decent chance of being there at all. Maybe Scadabo, you know, Scadabo at that point, but again, unlikely, but those would be the three that I think they would look at if they did shock the world and maybe take a running back in round three. Five wide receivers that I think are potentials here. Dante Thornton, Ty Felton, Isaac Tesla, Elik Iominar, and Torrey Horton. I know what some people are thinking, like, isn't Dante Thornton a fifth or sixth round guy? A lot of people have him there. Here's the thing. When you get these players that are, you know, just tough to find, like, again, an outside wide receiver, teams are going to probably, I think, be one-upping each other to probably maybe get their hands on him because he's got the things that you can't teach, right? And we saw how much some of these deep ball wide receivers started to go for. So if you can make something out of him, you're getting an unbelievable value. My guess is he probably goes closer to end of round three, early round four than anything in the fifth or sixth rounds. Green Bay wants that, you know, MBS or even kind of Christian Watson type wide receiver. Obviously, Thornton is very, very raw, runs like it's basically a go and a comeback route with maybe a post mixed in here and there. But he has like 4.240 speed. He's what, 6.4, 6.5, somewhere in that range. He's a freaky athlete, a very freaky athlete. But if you want him, I think you're going to have to maybe get him a little bit earlier because of the rarity of that type of player. But Thornton, Ty Felton, Isaac Tesla, Elik Iominar, and Torrey Horton at wide receiver. No tight ends. Logan Brown and Anthony Belton at offensive tackle. Marcus Bowe, Jared Wilson, Tate Ratledge, and Emory Jones Jr. on the interior of the offensive line. Interior of the defensive line, Josh Farmer, Omar Norman Lott, and CJ West. At edge, Jack Sawyer, Princely Umanmielen, Elijah Roberts, and Kyle Kennard. Some possibilities there in round three. Sam Mondon Jr. and Danny Stutzman at linebacker. Darian Porter, Noel Williams, and Bilal Cohn at corner. And Kevin Winston and Billy Bowman at safety. Those are my third round guys. Again, I think you're still finding some edges that could potentially make sense. I still think there's a couple corners out there that you could get. Tougher to find offensive tackles, although maybe Logan Brown or Anthony Belton would make a little bit of sense here. Josh Farmer is a defensive tackle, more of a three technique. CJ West is more of a run stopper, although he's only 6'1 with short arms, not exactly Green Bay's type, but couldn't rule him out. And then still some wide receivers there, whether it's Tesla, Felton, Thornton, Iominar, Torrey Horton. Can see Green Bay really going with any of those at round three if they did not get one as of yet. That brings us to players rounds 4 through 7. I'm not going to have a huge breakdown here. I've watched a handful of these guys, the Packers top 30 visits and a couple others. But again, I'm trying to focus on the top 100 as much as I can. Quarterbacks that could make sense: Taylor Algersma, Will Howard, Brady Cook, Seth Hannigan, Riley Leonard, and Kyle McCord. Running backs include Damian Martinez, DJ Giddens, Bashul Tutin, RJ Harvey, Taj Brooks, Montrell Johnson, Ja'Cory Corksky Merritt, Donovan Edwards, and Khalil Mullings, and Phil Maffa. Then at wide receiver, Nick Nash, Andrew Armstrong, Rock Taylor, Chimere Dike, Isaiah Nayer, Jordan Watkins, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Elijah Badger, and Savion Williams. Tight ends include Jackson Hawes, Benjamin Urasik, Gavin Bartholomew, CJ Dipre, Thomas Fedone II, Joshua Simon, Jalen Conyers, Orande Gadsden II, Luke Lachey, Mitchell Evans, Shane Calhoun, and Carter Runyon. Offensive tackles, John Williams, Dalton Cooper, Marshall Foreigner, Branson Taylor, Valentin Sen, and Carson Vinson. Interior offensive linemen, Caleb Rogers, Eli Cox, Essa Pohl, Jacob Bayer, Joshua Gray, Luke Newman, Bryce Kabildu, Drew Moss, Drew Kendall, Connor Colby, Garrett Dellinger, Jackson Slater, Jonah Monheim, Jake Majors, and Marcus Ware. Interior defensive line, Cam Horsley, Zeke Biggers, Nash Hutmaker, Keontae Hamilton, Warren Brinson, Ty Hamilton. A couple Hamiltons there. Jordan Phillips, Jared Harrison, Hunt, Peyton Page, Vernon Broughton, Jay Toya, Thor Griffin, Shamar Turner, Riley Mills, and Ty Robinson. Off-ball linebackers, or sorry, edge rushers, Savion Jones, Fadil Diggs, Tyron Ingram Dawkins, then Tyler Barron and Baron Sorrell. Off-ball linebackers include Francisco Mayuaga, Tedje Buchanan, Jamin Dumas-Johnson, Chandler Martin, Nick Martin, Kane Medrano, Sean Dolek, Bam Martin-Scott, Cody Simon, Jack Kaiser, Jalen McLeod, Carson Brenner, and Jackson Woodard. Corners include Jason Marshall Jr., Caleb Ransaw, Micah Robinson, Zach Frazier, Ketan Crawford. Could do double Ketans in the secondary. That'd be fun. Isas Wexter, Jordan Hancock, Dorian Strong, Marcus Harris, Tommy Hill, and Quincy Riley. And last but not least, the safeties, Maxon Hook, Craig Woodson, Dean Clark, Josh Minkins, Donovan McMillan, Marcus Sigel, Jonas Sankler, Lathan Ransom, Iverson Brown, Jonathan Edwards, Jalen Reed, Dan Jackson, Aubrey Burks, and Malachi Moore. That is my full big board for Green Bay, 197 players strong. Let me know if there's anyone you think I'm missing, should be higher, lower, et cetera. I would love to hear from you guys. All right. What I did then is I took that big board. I did one mock draft with this. This is not my official final mock draft or anything like that. It's my big board mock draft. So assuming the big board is set up that way, and then I used the consensus big board to be like kind of the tiebreaker between rounds. So I did one mock draft using this big board as my guide. And then when there were tiebreakers or whatever, I used the consensus big board. I had a couple of things that I broke on it. I'll talk about those in just a moment. But in the first round, you got Shamar Stewart, edge rusher out of Texas A&M. In the second round, Azaray Thomas, corner out of Florida State. In the third round, the highest available player left, actually, I think in the second too, was Jackson Dart. I'm sorry, I was not going to take Jackson Dart here. So I did break things a little bit from the formula, so to speak. But the next up was Wyatt Milam, the offensive lineman out of West Virginia. Next up was defensive lineman Joshua Farmer out of Florida State. Then the next one was the also one that I broke. There were two players next to each other. It was Deontay Thornton, who I ultimately ended up taking. And then the other one was Bilal Cohn, Cohn was two picks ahead, but we already took Azaray Thomas and we did not have a wide receiver yet. So we went with Dante Thornton Jr. here. In the sixth round, running back Bishal Tutin. In the seventh round, tackle Carson Vinson. And in the last pick in the seventh round for them, 250th overall linebacker Nicholas Martin out of OK State. So Shamar Stewart, Azaray Thomas, Wyatt Milam, Josh Farmer, Deontay Thornton Jr., Bishal Tutin, Carson Vinson, and Nicholas Martin is the haul that Green Bay got using the big board on a one-time run through on PFF.com. All right, that's going to do it for me today, friends. Thank you so much for joining me. Check out that big board. I'll post it over on Twitter some point on Wednesday. I'll try to see if there's any tweaks that I need to make before Thursday, but as of right now, I feel pretty good about it. Fun putting this stuff together. Hopefully this gives you, again, a little bit more direction on what, you know, direction Green Bay might go. But man, we're one day away. Draft is tomorrow. Again, make sure to subscribe, like, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. It's a great time of year to be a member. It's a great time of year to make sure you're subscribed so that you get all those updates anytime that we are putting out new content. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated in Minnesota, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkel, Jen Wright, Ian Houle, and Matt Geiger. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.